Bill 1038. That is below the line. And why, Mr. Kenyon, how welcome, how nice to have you back. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. Mike Kenyon, Department of Revenue and Regulation. The first thing I wanted to do to the chair, to the chair and the committee, is apologize for not including the information that I provided to you before my testimony earlier in the week. That was an obvious oversight on my part that was politely and quickly pointed out by Mr. Wheeler and correctly pointed out that way. I have included a copy of the case for every member of the committee and a short statement about the bill and some examples of abrogation statutes that currently exist in South Dakota law right now. I wanted to emphasize and just expand upon my testimony earlier in the week and just point out that this bill does not change substantive law in South Dakota. The licensee would still be able to make the same arguments that they made in the Harbor Bar case. All that would change is the burden of proof, and specifically the burden of production, who has to come forth with evidence to show a particular fact. And the bill would just clarify that the Department of Revenue doesn't have to provide to every licensee the schedule of each training programs. And with that information, I'd be and what I stated before, I'd be happy to stand by for any questions.
Mr. Kenyon, I think I see Mr. Wheeler here. He was previously here as a reluctant opponent. Mr. Wheeler, are you interested in testifying again? And would this be as a proponent or an opponent?
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Jerry Wheeler. I represent the South Dakota Retailers Association, and I am. You've heard that phrase around here once in a while, I'm not an attorney. Well, I'm really not an attorney. And so I stopped it because I just wanted to make sure it was all right. Jim Hood works for our association as a lobbyist, and I'd like to have him make some comments if that would be all right with the committee.
That's fine with the chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Hood, just with a nod towards propriety, would this be as a proponent or an opponent?
It would be, Madam Chair, as an opponent.
Thank you.
My name is Jim Hood. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Retailers Association. I was visiting with Mr. Kenyon earlier, and I said, you know, the legislature, it's an exception rather than a rule when the legislature, by a statute, abrogates the holding in a South Dakota Supreme Court decision. And I said, I bet I could count on one hand the number of times that has happened in the 10 years I served in the House and the 10 years I've been around as a lobbyist. And then Mr. Kenyon handed me this, and I said, yep, three cases. I recalled two of those because I was serving at the time. But my concern is, first, I don't think there was a ruling or a holding on issue two in the Ingalls Harbor Bar case. If you have the decision, and if you will take a look at what the court said regarding issue two, the court held that there was error per se, based on a unique factual
Hood,
situation.
I apologize. I need to interrupt you just briefly. How many committee members do in fact have the case, received the case? Okay.
And so,
Mr. Be at the desk. I apologize. Please continue.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, Mr. Kenyon is correct when he told the committee that you're not abrogating a holding based on substantive law. That is right. If you look at the other three cases that he cited to the committee on the Jackson case and the Venner case and the City of Hudson case, the legislature did in fact abrogate a holding on a substantive issue of law. You know, in those cases, it was on causation, that type of thing. But here, the court held that there was error per se because there was nothing in the record to support the court's decision that Mr. Ingalls had notice concerning programs which were department approved before they were offered prior to the date that was important in this case. So this, issue two was really decided on a rather unique factual situation rather than on a substantive issue of law. And I really don't think there's a ruling or a holding. There's a ruling, but there is no holding in this case. And even if you abrogated the rule, it's not going to apply retroactively. So if there are cases pending where this issue is being raised, well, we didn't have notice that the classes were available. It's not going to make any difference to the Department of Revenue in those cases anyway. And I guess I would also point out that it should be issue two rather than section two, I think, of the decision. There is no section. There is no section two in the case. There were four issues presented. The court ruled on issue one, and the court ruled on issue two, and because they decided issue two the way they did, they didn't have to rule on issue three and four. So, I guess I would just caution the committee that you're, in this instance, abrogating a holding based on a rather unique factual situation rather than on a substantive issue of law. And as I pointed out, the legislature doesn't abrogate holdings in Supreme Court decisions lightly. It's only three cases have been cited where that's been done in the last 20 years plus. And so I would urge you to proceed with caution. If you're going to proceed, I think you would want to change on line one, page two, section to issue. But I don't know that we even need to go that far. And section one, the retailers of the bill, the retailers have no problem with, but I think particularly the abrogation on lines one, two, and three, I think you ought to just proceed cautiously. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I know there's a couple of other attorneys on the committee, and I would be happy to answer any questions of any members of the committee. I don't know if they're reading the holding in the case the same way I am, but I would stand by for questions. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Hood. And we will have questions. I do want to give Mr. Kenyon a chance for rebuttal. Since I kind of skipped around, I need to ask if there were other proponents to this bill. Any other proponents? Are there other opponents to 1038? All right. Mr. Kenyon, I want to give you a chance for rebuttal on this.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just I certainly agree with Mr. Hood that the holding of this case is difficult to parse out, and is a little bit vague and a little bit difficult. But what I would suggest that a part of the holding case, or at least inherent in the decision that the court made, is the requirement that the Department of Revenue notify every licensee of the availability of training programs before we proceed with a punishment for an underage alcohol sale. I think that's, although it's not stated that explicitly in the opinion, it is clear when you read the opinion that's a requirement that the court decided to impose upon the department. With that, I'd be happy to stand by for any further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Kenyon. All right, then we've finished with rebuttal. If there are questions on the committee of members of those who have testified, This would be the time to ask, Representative Cutler.
Question for Mr. Hood.
Go ahead, Representative.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think, in your opinion, would be the effect then, or what change do you see that this bill would make if we passed it? Would it make a change since you aren't convinced that there is a clear holding? Do you think this would change anything regarding what the department obviously feels as a legal necessity now on their part to provide that notice before they could
Well, and I think proceed. I think that's the crux of the issue. If the department is going to revoke someone's license because an employee sold to someone underage, I think it's fair that the department give notice to that licensee when those classes are available for that person's employees. Now, if the licensee does it, the law is different, you know. But when it's an employee, I think it's fair and proper that the department give those licensees notice that these classes are available at this time, date, and place. And they held in this case, there was nothing in the record to show that Mr. Ingalls had actual notice of any of those classes being available.
Go ahead, Representative.
Thank you. So in your opinion then, this bill would change the burden from notice so that there wouldn't be a burden on the department in proceeding with those prosecutions, that they had first provided notice about those classes?
If this bill were to pass, that is correct. At least Section 1's all right. Section 2 would require that the department have the burden of showing that the licensee had notice. You're welcome.
Thank you. Other questions? Representative Cutler.
Question for Mr. Kenyon.
Mr. Kenyon.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Representative.
Is it your opinion that writing in this legislation as an abrogation would cover the pending cases? Because I think that was maybe some of the testimony before.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
I think that's exactly correct. You know, what judges do when the trial court or the hearing examiner who would have a case pending in their court right now, and I'm actually going to be testifying in a case in February of this year. So we still have some of these cases around, and some that are even some cases that are still under the old safe harbor provision. So we have these hangover cases that are still out there. What judges in those cases would do is look at a decision to determine what the Supreme Court says the law is, and to make the decision in the case before them today. If the decision is not abrogated, then they will continue to look at section or issue two, and I thank you for that correction, issue two from the Harbor Bar decision to decide what is the law in South Dakota.
Thank you, Mr. Kenyon. Thank you, Representative. Are there any other questions of those who have given testimony by the committee members? Anything else? Are we ready to close public testimony and questions and open it up for discussion and action of the committee? Looks like we are. Any comments, discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Tornow.
Initially, I have looked at this bill, and I've looked at the Harbor Bar case, and I've, just by way of background, I have practiced administrative law in South Dakota for just about 18 years. I agree with Mr. Hood that abrogation is the exception rather than the rule. I think it's unnecessary here, and I also disagree that if the legislature were to pass a bill today that goes into effect as of July 1, that just because there's language in there abrogating a decision by the South Dakota Supreme Court, that abrogation doesn't take effect until July 1. So So I understand the department's concerns, but I don't think the magic language of abrogation in a statute that does not become effective until July 1 does anything in the interim. And therefore, I would, if it's appropriate, Madam Chair, I would move an amendment.
You gave your remarks first.
Okay.
Perhaps someone else will want to speak. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move page 2 of the printed bill after the word violation, the period, that we do a strike the remaining line on line 1, then strike lines 2 and 3.
Representative Rounds moves that page 2, line 1, following the word violation, that the remaining sentence be deleted. Is that what I heard, Representative?
It's a little different.
Is there a second to Representative Rounds' motion? We have a second from Representative Davis.
Madam Chair, now could I move a substitute amendment to get at what I think, Mr. Rounds?
Absolutely.
All right. My substitute amendment would be to delete on line 1 of the bill, to delete everything from line 11 through the end of the bill, to make this a one-section bill. And I also think there's some language in here that will assist the Department of Revenue as well. As part of the substitute amendment then, on line 10 of the bill, after held period, I would move that this be inserted again in section 1. Alcohol licensees making a prohibited sale or service of an alcoholic beverage to a person under the age of 21 years have the burden of proof to ensure that their employees attend an approved alcohol training program before gaining any reduction in the penalty imposed for the violation, period. And as you can see, Madam Chair, if I can, can I comment on?
After you have a second.
Okay. That's my motion.
You bet. All right, Representative Howey. Representative Tornow, just so that we're clear, before you give your remarks, you're suggesting eliminating basically section 2 and adding to section 1 the language that you read.
Right. And what I've done, Madam Chair, is taken what I would call the guts of the provision advanced by the Department of Revenue and added that it's now clear that it's only up to the department to provide the notice of the training programs and that any burden of proof in any subsequent hearing is going to be on that licensee to establish that their employees attended or were allowed to attend the training. And obviously deleting the abrogation language. I think it does what the Department of Revenue wants. I think it's a cleaner bill in one section. And I think it would address this issue.
Representative McCoy.
Does he have copies of his amendment for the rest of the committee?
Representative Tornow, do you have copies?
I do not.
Madam Chair, one comment. Without
we
a copy.
Representative McCoy.
Thank you. Without a copy to actually see it in the bill and how it fits, I would not be able to vote for this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Rounds.
Is there a possibility we could hear that amendment read one more time?
Madam Chair,
Representative Tornow.
Yeah. And I apologize for not having it in writing. It was there was some discussion right before the hearing with Mr. Kenyon. But really, the only words I've added from, again, what I would call the guts of their provision is burden of proof to ensure. But I'll read the entire amendment. Alcohol licensees making a prohibited sale or service of an alcoholic beverage to a person under the age of 21 years have the burden of proof to ensure that their employees attend an approved alcohol training program before gaining any reduction in the penalty imposed for the violation. And all of that, again, would be at the end of Section 1.
Thank you, Representative Tornhill. Representative Rounds?
If I may, in a response to Representative McCoy's request, it starts on page, on line 13 of the first bill with the word alcohol, and it continues.
Representative Hanks?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm not necessarily opposed to it. I mean, the language sounds good to me, but I guess my desire would be to continue this or to defer this to the next meeting so we can get hard copies and at least give Mr. Kenyon the ability to review it and come back with opinions. I will tell you, I mean, it sounds good to me, but I don't want to cut the debate off and have them give them the opportunity to at least look over the changes. Thank you.
Representative Cutler.
Thank you. I guess I'd be in favor of supporting the Representative Turno's substitute motion. It will keep the bill moving. They will have time then to work through any other changes they want to make as the bill progresses. I know we have to deal with this before we consider any other motion. Mm-hmm. So.
Thank you, Representative Cutler. Are there any other comments? Representative Sixtad.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Or chairwoman, or whatever you say.
Whatever.
Excuse me. I sort of agree what I heard in some testimony by Mr. Hood. I think it should be the departments. I would like to see on, I don't know what line, I don't have the version, but when it's line 8, I would like to see the word not stricken. And because I think it should be, I think they should inform them the time and places of classes that they could attend. So. I would offer that as an amendment, if that is, or I can't do that. Okay.
If it's all right with the committee, we do have a substitute motion before us, and I would prefer that we deal with that substitute motion. I don't want to limit discussion. If anybody else has anything, and then move on from there. How are you guys with that? All right. Then we have a substitute motion before us. And we are familiar with it, even though it is not. It is, in fact, to add a portion of Section 2 that begins with alcohol licensees to Section 1 and delete the rest. All right. Those in favor of the this isn't final action, this is a voice vote. So, those in favor of the substitute motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed to the substitute motion will say nay.
Nay.
Chair rules that the ayes have it and substitute motion is passed. So now we have a bill that doesn't look anything like the one that's in front of you. 1038. Pausing. Is there any other action? Representative Hanks.
Thank you. Would it be appropriate this time to make another substitute motion?
It would just be a plain old motion.
I'm going to make a motion that we defer this to our next meeting. I think I'm in favor of the bill that is being proposed, but I would really like to have the chance to see it in front of us. Quite honestly, I'm not an attorney, and I think the attorneys here have a lot better feel for this. They deal with it all the time. I'm not, and I'd feel a lot more comfortable with it if I had a chance to sit down and read the hard copy, and I think we owe, and we're somewhat obligated to Mr. Kenyon to at least get a hard copy to him and have him review it and see if he has any further comments. That'd be my motion.
We have a motion for a deferral to the next committee meeting,
yep,
which would be next Tuesday. And Representative McCoy has seconded that motion. Do we have any discussion on that deferral? We're ready for a vote. Those in favor of the deferral will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no.
No.
Ooh.
Clearly.
Chair is in doubt. Roll call on the motion to defer.
Butler?
No.
Davis?
No.
Gasson?
Aye.
Hinks?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Kroger?
Aye.
McCoy?
Aye.
Rounds?
No.
Sigdestad?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Torno?
No.
Marshall?
Aye.
Pennies?
Aye.
Four noes. Four nays. Nine nays.
Well, I don't know how the chair was in doubt. Nine. Nine ayes, four nays. The motion carries. I guess you guys are loud over there. So we will. The deferral is supported, and we will deal with this again next Tuesday. Representative Torno, if you would please get with staff to have that amendment. Make sure the language is clear on that so that committee members
Thank you, Madam Chair. I certainly will do that.
Thank you very much.